Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Do you
want
to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hello, I'm Mike. My birthing partner and I just got our new Lysenica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysenica Freedom microchip, SNCS HIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom Microchip. I jumped on Lysnica joined.
This Freedom Chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this Freedom Chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These Freedom Chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee would insert it in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysnica track and trace your every move. You just need a Freedom Chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysnica Freedom Microchips. They are sweet.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireza. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Thursday, and I know I've been missing for a few days. I literally had no voice. And I do phone work for a living, and that was exciting for a few days. Doing just enough to basically have no breath at the end of the shift, and I'm sitting here like I want to talk. I got stuff to go over, but it's impossible. We have a couple of guests today. Since I was off for a few days, I figured let me get both the guests I had scheduled, bring everybody on Thursday. We have Renee from Winsome with the Linsomes. She'll be joining us here in just a moment. And Renee, if you're on, just like everybody else, if you want to be a part of the show, the number is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1, and I'll know that you have an interest in going on air with us. So next hour, we are going to have Quintina joining us. We are going to discuss human trafficking, among other stuff. V will be with us here. She is running late, anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes late. I've been warned ahead of time, so we're good. So I'll be holding it down. I'm just happy to be able to talk again. All right, let's go ahead and bring on Renee here from Winsome with the Linsomes. So let's go ahead and make that happen here. Welcome in, Renee.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I got my husband here, too.
Greetings, greetings. How you doing?
Oh, hello again.
Hi,
and,
how are you?
Hello to the husband. I didn't meet you last time.
No, I was asleep last time. Sorry.
Hey, that's okay. Hey, the important thing is you made it. And
yes, sir.
And Renee liked it so much that she came back after I asked her. So it couldn't have been that bad.
Right. She really enjoyed it, and she's been talking about it ever since. And then when she said she was going to be gone again, I was like, cool. It'll be great because Sunday's our anniversary, our second year anniversary of being married. So it'd be cool to come on and talk to you.
Okay. Well, sounds good. So right off the bat here, go ahead and tell everybody where they could find your show.
Well, you can find Winsome with the Linsomes on Spotify, as well as Red Circle, as well as...
We're on pretty much all streaming platforms. We're on all streaming platforms, and I'm working on Apple. Working on that one, but we're on all of them, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay.
We are on all of them. Yeah. Yeah, we are on all of them, but I'm working on Apple. Working on Apple. That's a different monster. That is
so,
a different monster.
So what have you been working on lately?
Woo. We've been working on our book. We have a book about marriage and things like that. So we've been working on that. Uh-oh. And that's going to be coming out very soon. And, that's going to be coming out very soon, as well as my book is coming out probably in the fall. So... yeah, that's what we've been working on. But the marriage book will be out soon. I'm hoping at least in a few months.
Okay. Yeah, I'm also I'm working on because I am also in ministry. I'm working on a show on Facebook where I go live and talk to different people and it's basically conversations with Prophet Jay. My name is Jerry, but everybody calls me Jay. So we have Prophet conversations with Prophet Jerry, and basically we just have a conversation, and it can go from Christian, it can go from just anything you want to talk about. We
Christianity is firmly welcomed here, just so you know. Yeah, I'm a very devout Christian, and I'm proud of it.
All right, awesome, great. So yeah, maybe we could get you on the show, and basically we just talk about different things and different people walks of life, and you know, so yeah, that's basically what we're working on right now.
Yep.
So,
and then of course you know.
Go ahead.
World domination. And then, of course, you know, world domination. We're Pinky in the Brain as well.
So this artificial intelligence, as well as just the sheer corruption you see right now, it's just prime time for the Antichrist to come up right now.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And that scares me to no end.
Well, we ought to be prepared and ready.
Yes.
You know, and like you said, it will, you know, put a little shaking in your boots a little bit. But as long as we're prepared and we're ready for what's to come, then we know, you know, where we're going.
Right.
Well, what just gets me right now over the past year and a half or so, maybe even less than that,
uh-huh.
But there's just been this big shift to make sure that kids get sexualized right from jump.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
And I'm just not understanding it. I just don't feel that at 2 years old, a child should be even thinking remotely about what sex is. And then you have people like Chelsea Clinton promoting books where that talk about how safe it is for a kid to just follow a random adult and go have sex in a shed or something. This wouldn't have flown 10, 15 years ago.
No, it wouldn't have. So, you know, this type of generation we're in now, they're just letting anything go.
Well, anything that just makes people angry.
Say that again?
Anything that makes people angry and causes division. And if you're part of the liberal, tolerant left, and you're married to whatever they concoct, and if you if you stray even one item away, all of a sudden you're a white supremacist, and they even say you could be blacker than black and blue. You could be so black you don't show up in pictures. You're a white supremacist now.
Wow.
That was on The View yesterday.
Oh, wow. Wow. It's to the point that, like you were saying, for a two-year-old to know that, a two-year-old don't even know really how to use the bathroom yet.
Right.
Good. How to use the bathroom yet? Good, as in what is it called? Potty train.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Being potty trained. So how come we want to teach them about sex at this age? There's something really wrong with that.
But somebody has to say that a thing is right. One part that's all it takes, because if a majority or you know can say, well, this is correct, and it can be put in a rule book, you know, in a law, then that will generalize it and be like, oh, okay, then this is okay, and that cannot be. We shouldn't misconstrue that with what is actually right. You know,
I just don't understand what the big issue is of we're not changing any genders until someone's an adult. I just don't understand how that's a radical policy now.
People, what is right, people are going to say that it's wrong. That's a sign, too, of the times that we are in, because when people say that something is wrong, it probably is right, and vice versa. So you really have to know what you believe in, because there's a lot of things floating around, and if you don't know, if you really don't know, then you're going to fall for anything that's going to come your way.
And it's not that I'm anti-Democrat, but for the most part, the Democrats over the past generation have really taken normalcies and they keep moving the goalpost. And you have to constantly keep moving over to communism in order to stay part of them, or else you're one of the other people. And it just leads to destruction.
Things are already leading that way because there's so much separation, period.
But that's what they like, though, because then the government mm-hmm. can come in like Captain Save-A-Ho and just try to restore order by getting rid of things like the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And be like, yep, I saved the day. Actually, not really. Actually, not really. But, you know what I'm saying, you have to be careful. You really do. After every wind, every doctrine that comes in, you just have to be careful and keep your spiritual eyes open.
Yes, very, very.
Keep them open.
So I don't know if you noticed this in your area, but I noticed this a couple weeks ago. We have a Smith's out here. That's equal to Kroger's. They're owned by Kroger. And
okay.
In their stores, every single aisle now is behind a glass shelf.
Oh, wow.
So, and I've seen video. And it's not because these areas are ridden with crime. It's not no such thing. But
mm-hmm.
Kroger's leading the way because what you're going to need at some point, we're going to be transitioning to a cashless society.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Those doors will only open if you have a certain mark on you or your phone to start with.
Wow.
So I've shared videos on that.
Oh, wow.
And it's people, I've seen quite a few clips. Where they talked about that, and you have people in lines, even in different businesses where they had like the lines out, and people were excited and they were getting it on their
yeah.
hands, and I was like, whoa. And when I saw it, I was like, woo. When you read different things in the Bible, you know what I'm saying, the sacred text, and then you see it played out right in front of your eyes, and it's like, wow. I'm like, it's right here. It's right here. But a lot of people, it seems like such a long time ago, you know what I'm saying, when you heard people mentioning that about the mark of the beast. You know, I remember hearing about it, but then, you know, as you get older, you see more things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also like, wow, this is it. This is what they were talking about. And people are excited to get it. And I remember hearing about the cashless society. You even see it in some places now. Like, okay, please pay with, we see it around here where they say, please pay with exact change or use your card. That's what I've been seeing where we live at. But people are gonna be signing up to get it, to get that mark. They're gonna be signing up to get it.
And these people think, oh well, that's just to stop stealing. But you have areas that are getting these that that have very low crime rates. It has nothing to do with that. But they'll get people to believe something so they could do a whole switcheroony.
Right. And if you don't know and you walk into something blind and you get it because some other people say it's to get it, you better be really, really not afraid, but you better watch out.
I think what it is one thing I think it is that a lot of people that are getting this either don't believe in the Bible or they just think it's a fad or think it's a just a story, something to write a book about. You know what I'm saying? You get where I'm coming from?
I know is that if I don't care how agnostic somebody is, but if somebody says you have to take this mark and put it on your person in order to buy, sell, work, and live, that should trigger some things. If that doesn't wake you up, there is literally nothing that will wake you up.
That would trigger a lot of things to me.
And there's no coming back from that mark either.
No, there's not.
No. Once you take it, it's it.
That's it.
Yeah, because you just took yourself out of humanity and became a hybrid.
Basically, you sold your soul.
You just became technology. You became AI, and you know AI is robot, so it's not even human.
But is it robot or is it Satan? That's my question.
Right. Well, some people are going to say that it's going to be technology, but people that read and that know the Word of God are going to know exactly what it is. But people are going to fall for it. People are going to fall for it, which is sad. But the Bible has to fulfill the prophecy. It has to.
So I did want to ask you, because I know that your book is on relationships. So did you have anything you wanted to go over as far as like tips or something that you really believe in the book that you want to go over?
I think it's really important. What's his name again?
Proof.
I think it's really important that communication is the key. And the reason why I say communication is the key is because a lot of times before we even get married, we as people don't talk as much or don't share what we want or what we're looking for. That's one thing. And another thing what I say about communication is that, like for instance, the other day, me and Renee was talking, and she didn't like something that I said, and I had to correct myself and, let her know that I was sorry. Because a lot of times when you don't talk about it and you harbor it in, then all of a sudden when one accident or one incident will happen, then you'll blow up about 6 months or so. You get what I'm saying? So when you have
I have an advice for people as well. I want to make sure that when couples are married, they have their own separate times.
True.
Like, I will say everybody should have their own separate hobbies.
True.
Because you don't want to rely 100% on your life partner for everything you want to do. You want to have alone time, and you want to make time for you to learn new things. You want to make time for a new side hustle. You don't just want to look at your wife all day, as pretty as she might be. You're going to have to figure out how to make you're going to have to keep reinventing yourself.
Exactly, yes. Yes, exactly, because it's to the point that there's some things that we like together, and then there's some things that is separate. But when I talk about it, like, for instance, she sings, I sing too, but I play the piano. She doesn't.
Okay.
So it's like I love to have the timing to just be by myself and just pick the keys, because in that timing, that's my peace. Not saying that I don't have peace with her, but that's my timing of peace. That's my timing of meditation. That's my timing to where I get to be me. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like I have my radio show. I run a nonprofit. I also dabble in baseball cards, and I occasionally set up at shows. I work on music. I have many other different things. So if my wife says, hey, can I go out with my bestie? I'm like, yeah, have fun. I got so much stuff to do. I'm not going to be bored one bit.
Right, right, right. Now, but I do like them times where we have, like, a date night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we do that on Friday nights, right.
Yeah, to where we'll either go to a concert or we'll go out to movies and then go out to dinner. So it's that timing that you do have together, but also that timing to where, you know, we have our separate – we have a two-bedroom apartment. So I call the room that she goes in is the creative room. When she in there, I know not to bother her. She's either blogging or she's ghostwriting. She's doing something. And while she's doing that, I'm either gaming or I'm doing something.
Doing the show.
Oh, I'm doing my show, or I'm thinking of a sermon that I have to come up with when I have to preach. So that timing is separated, but then during the day, we still have that time to come together, and, like, she'll go to the restroom, and she'll just wave, like, hi, baby. I'll be like, hi, baby, what you doing? She'll tell me what she's doing, and then she'll go out and do what she got to do, and we do what we got to do. So, yeah, it's fun that way, and it's not like, oh, I'm the man, you do what I say or do nothing at all.
Right.
There are marriages like that.
Oh, I get it. And I don't want to be the one that literally is so boring and has nothing to do except wait for my wife to tell me what to do. I'm not that person.
Right, exactly.
Well, you have to, you know, because it's important that, I'm sorry, it's important that you realize that it's two people. And when two people come together and you have two different mindsets, you know, from two different places, you have to have that time where you can just be by yourself and you can kind of get your thoughts together. And for me, I find that when I go into my creative room and I'm just like, okay, and I'm able to think some things out, I'm able to you know, write some things, it helps me to be a better wife, because I'm doing the things that I love to do, and when I love what I'm doing, it's only going to help in my marriage, because I'm not looking at him to be the source of my happiness all the time. What I'm doing is making me happy. I think sometimes
right.
we put the focus so many times on the person constantly making us happy when we're responsible for our happiness.
So do you guys mind if we take a caller?
Sure.
We have Joseph from North Carolina. Joseph,
hey,
we have our guest
on
right now. And since I've been out all week, I figured let me say hi to you.
Oh, how you doing? Good day.
Hey,
good
Joseph.
Day to hear you.
Hey, Joseph.
Hi, Joseph.
We have the Linsomes with us here from their podcast, Win Some with the Linsomes.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to make a – I didn't know what your particular subject was you were talking about, but I see you talking about the drag queen subject and the pedophilia in this country that is really just shows that our complacency has been pushed to the limits. They're going after our children, and still we see the anger in America, but they're still doing it. And it's our acceptance of this liberal, woke movement and these people, and even some of them within our own families. We allow it, you know, because, you know, we think it's it'll pass or it doesn't affect me directly right now. But then when it does, it's too late. So that's why I always say, don't give these liberals any time whatsoever. Their programs, their television shows, anything. Do not fund them. Don't spend money with them. Don't entertain them. And because they're detrimental to everything that we're about as God-fearing people or whatever you believe in, and more whatever moral compass you have. But everything that is good is attacked by these people. Everything that's good. You notice that?
So let me bring this up, Joseph. That if you saw the liberals now are starting to protest Bud Light.
Yeah,
Bud Light.
Wow.
Yeah, Bud Light tried to walk back their Dylan Mulvaney stuff and said it was only one can, it was one time. They had no intention of making that a promotional thing. And so the liberals are like, how dare you give in to everybody else? Now we're going to start boycotting it.
Well,
that's what happens if you give in an inch to these people.
Yeah. And look what's going on with the border. Nobody knows what the truth is down there, what the truth is with this Title 42. I mean, what is the truth?
It's got to come out one way or another.
Well, they need to get rid of the border. So if you don't know that there's a border, then you won't know that there's one country.
Yeah. I mean, I think they got the National Guard down there not to stop people from crossing, to help process the people. I think that's why they're there.
Yes. That's why they're there, yes.
Wow.
Although the Republicans allegedly signed a bill today, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's too late. It's too late. I mean, the amount of it's already how many millions is it now? It's up to 1.8 million since Biden took over. So you figure that could sway that's definitely swaying the popular vote even more for the elections, even if they don't rig them. And so really we're in trouble. I mean, the strain on the economy, I did stories on the border. The strain down there on the economy, the local economy down there is devastating. And the ripple effect is that we're going to feel all through this country is devastating. Maybe that'll wake us up, though, to finally do something.
I do think it's hilarious that they sent buses to Brandon's house and Kamala's house. Just drop them off in their front yard and just the bus drives off. I think that's hilarious.
Wow.
Do more.
Yeah. And all these mayors in these liberal cities, drop them off at their houses too.
Oh, my God.
I tell you, but it's a shame. But you were talking about the market of beasts too, and that's when you say, you know, nobody would, you know, now we see it more and more today, and people still ignore it. But you're absolutely correct, and this cashless society. You're absolutely correct when you say, yeah, by next year, I think that will definitely be implemented, or the stages of it will be to the point where it'll affect us all. And I mean, but we're not appointed under wrath. I mean, I don't know what you believe or what your theological belief is or what your salvation is, but I do believe that we're not appointed under wrath, but we're supposed to rejoice in our tribulation, and that we will be the good Lord will return during the last half hour of the tribulation period.
I'm just not a pre-tribulation person. Definitely. I just believe personally that we're meant to see sorrow if it's our time.
Well, the Bible does say, Paul says that, rejoice in your tribulation and your troubles,
yes,
you know, so, but we're not pointed on the wrath, though.
But I do think they're going to ram in as much as they can before the election next year. Just in case they lose, they got this time right now where they could ram in anything they want. And
you're correct.
The only thing
you're
that could slow down Brandon is Hunter.
Yeah. Well, they're pulling out all the stops, but you see, there's a lot of people out there around the country. Like, you know me, I'm running for office down here, and I know here in North Carolina, a lot of the polls are going to be monitored, and so there's a lot of things going on that where we can have an awakening. We can have an awakening. I mean, America's not completely dead. The spirit of resistance is always there. The foundation of the republic is still there. It's just that we need the people to really stop allowing this to control our policy making. This liberal. See, we confused our compassion with, you know, look, America was born with a lot of sin. Obviously, we had slavery.
Right.
We had the wrong, because we'd done wrong things. But we had the tools to fix it. We had the Constitution.
Yes.
And we're confusing that. You know, we're confusing that compassion with, oh, it's okay with this transgender stuff. It's okay for homosexuals to, you know, it's okay for IV drug users to be using it on the street corners. We let this compassion go too far. You know, we got it mixed up with our moral compass somewhere down the line here. I remember on Sundays you couldn't buy alcohol down here in North Carolina. The stores were closed. So now you can buy it 24 hours a day practically. So, you know,
So,
Renee, aren't you guys in North Carolina?
We are in North Carolina. Yes.
What city are you?
So we are close to Raleigh.
Oh, okay. I'm in Greensboro.
Oh, nice. We go to Greensboro all the time.
Okay.
So we're quite a bit.
But
you know, somebody I had mentioned earlier, somebody has this saying that it was okay. You know what I'm saying? And when a majority said that it was okay, then it was able to come to go into a law. So a lot of things aren't, you know, people may say that it's right, but it's not actually right. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, then it's wrong. But somebody is going to say that something is right, and then when that is believed by a majority, then that's where we get some of these laws that come from.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
It doesn't make it right, but it just makes it the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what it is too is the church and state thing. People got that confused. That was for the government not to be involved in the church, not the church to be involved with the government, you know? Everyone got that confused where, you know, the church, obviously the church made an impression on government. Obviously, they used to hold service at the Capitol, you know, in the beginning. So, you know, I mean, come on. We had the Ten Commandments and in all the courthouses. So, obviously, the church and religion was a part of our governmental system and belief and foundation. I mean, it's a fact. But, you know, you can't even have a picture of Andrew Jackson up anymore in the courthouses down in Greensboro. They took that down. I mean, it's just like our history. You know, look, I understand history may offend people, but we have to stick to the truth. You can't hide it. You can't, you know, you have to always tell the truth. The narrative of history can't be rewritten. Otherwise, we lose our way. We lose, you know, what we came from, our mistakes. It's a terrible thing. That what's happening in America today. I never thought it would happen this fast, actually.
Yeah. Hey, can I bring up a topic?
Go ahead.
Sure.
I wanted to bring this up earlier, but did you guys hear about that Trump court case yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yeah, yep.
So let me understand this. So this lady said that he raped her, doesn't know when, can't really give details. So
that's correct.
In the court, they agree that he did not rape her, but Trump loses $2 million because of sexual misconduct, and then another $3 million for saying that it was a hoax on social media. So
yeah.
I don't understand how any of that works, and I don't understand how Me Too only works if the guy in question is a Republican, because Me Too didn't work for Tara Reid versus Brandon, and it didn't work for insert woman here for Bill Clinton.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct. Well, if you discuss this with a liberal-minded person or a diehard Democrat, they spin off into something that it's like you can't have a discussion with them. The facts are just so distorted that they're just so far off topic and resolution and fact that it's mind-boggling. I mean, what's wrong with these people? They got to be possessed. I mean, by the evil somehow, some way. I mean, they got to be.
All I know is that if somebody did me bad and I took them to court, I better at least have a rough idea of when it might have happened. I can't just say, I think it was in the 1990s.
I mean,
that's what she said.
Something to me, it doesn't smell right to me. Okay, and I'm saying that as a female, because when something like that happens, then you should know when it happened, and you should be able to, even if you cannot describe all of the details, but you should at least know, you know what I'm saying, the main things of you know what I'm saying. I know people get the, you know what I'm saying, the drug or whatever, but they can at least pinpoint where they were and what they were doing before that happened. So I mean, you've got to know something. If I can remember what I wore to school when I was a kid, and that was years ago, you should be able, and there's no trauma from that, but you should be able to know something if you are going to bring up charges on somebody. Sometimes I feel like people.
And there was an interview that this lady had that she said she thinks rape is sexy.
Oh boy!
And that's
wow.
And that is ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Say that to the people that are still grieving, from that, or the people that have died from that, because people have died from that.
Yes, it's traumatizing. It's also traumatizing, a lifelong trauma. So you're absolutely correct when you say they should have some sort of memory of it, some sort of memory of recollection of the generalization of time frame it was in, you know? I mean,
I just think the jury, because in that district, that was the same district with Alvin Bragg, that district voted 92% for Brandon. So I think they said, well, Trump didn't do it, but we got to get him on something because it's Trump and we hate him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they already got the backup plan to get DeSantis down in Florida if he gets any more popular. You know, they're calling him a Nazi and he's a racist and Florida's Nazi country, and you know, so they already got that all lined up for the race card with him too. So you know, it's like you kiss anybody that is Republican, you're a racist. You're I mean, if you become popular, you know, I mean, like you were saying earlier about, you know, the neo-Nazi thing. If you could be black as the anything, and you're a neo-Nazi if you don't go with the narrative of the liberal. I mean, well, I never heard of such a thing. You know, I mean, it's like this Mexican.
Yeah, nowadays, Washington State now, any age that a child says, I want to change my gender, I want to be a boy, I want to be a girl, you have to run them to the hospital, and they immediately get that sex change. And if you don't, you lose your custody of your kids.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
They signed that. And if you don't believe in that, then you're a white supremacist. That's the latest thing.
Jeez. Ida, this is insane. This is insane.
That's just straight evil.
I feel like this. I feel like this. A child really don't know what they want. Now,
of course,
if they, you know, in their teenage years, they probably been through something, then they might, you know a little bit more. But if I got a six-year-old that's a boy and I'm teaching him how to play football and soccer and he wants to play with dolls, that something happened to him. I think it's a lot of a mentality thing for me.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a mentality thing for me. But you have to really go by what the child says. If they want to be, they want to be a boy because they're a girl now. It's just everything has changed over the years, over the generations of how things are now, that where we just bow to anything now.
I don't think that there's, I don't think that there's a lot more liberals than ever before. I just think that a lot of us, and not anybody necessarily on this call, but a lot of us in out there in the public, we just stopped caring. We don't know how to put our foot down anymore. It's just, all right, you can have whatever you want, just leave me alone.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. But then that's also like we were all talking about, that's also the Bible revealing itself right there, because it said that was going to happen, because people have stopped caring, and a lot of things came up, especially when the pandemic hit. I'm just saying that, you know what I'm saying, because that's one of the most recent examples, because people were like, that's why you had people hoarding stuff. That's why you had people, it was more, you know, it's all about me. I'm looking out for myself. I'm not looking out for my neighbors. I'm not looking out for, you know what I'm saying, for others. I'm looking out for me.
Yep.
And nothing has shifted. Nothing has shifted back since then. It's been, you know, world's getting colder and colder. But
there's a right way and a wrong way to do preps.
Absolutely.
The right way is to buy extra when you go to the store. The wrong way to prep is not limit one per person, and you got all four of your kids standing in line with one big bag of toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember,
you should have been buying all that.
Because there was no toilet paper. There was no cleaning products. Lysol was gone. The Clorox wipes were gone. Sanitizers were gone. It took forever where we were living at to find those things. And I was like, how many people go to the restroom every day? I was like, it's and then if you could find it, it was $8, $9, $10. It went through the roof. And we think eggs was high, toilet paper was high.
Yeah.
Hey, we never bought. Historically, we like to have paper products on hand. And
right.
I think the last time I bought toilet paper was in 2021. And we still got, probably we could get through the rest of the year. Although we'll probably buy some more next time we go to Scams Club. But it's just every time you go, whether you need it or not, you buy one. That's how you prep.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, sometimes I wonder about all this prep and stuff. I mean, if really things really did collapse, I mean, how many supplies could you keep track of and have that you could survive off of without, I mean, you know, how could you be sufficient enough to survive, you know, keeping a home stocked? You know, I mean, how did they do it back, you know, many, many years ago? You know, they were living off the land, Daniel Boone and stuff like that. You know, you still had to build a fort and maintain supplies. So, but we don't have access to that anymore, where we can really live off the land, at least in general. You know, so it's kind of strange. Is that we're a different society now? I mean, I just don't know I just don't know how we can survive without, you know, industry anymore in this world.
Well, no
I just
one
don't
even
I just
knows
don't,
how to
you know?
Their own soups or anything anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So say it again.
I said no one even knows how to can their own soup anymore.
Oh my gosh! Because everything. I mean, but then
I live off of mason jars.
And see, but then so much has changed because everything is pick it up. It's in a box. Pick it up. It's over here. Pick it up. You know what I'm saying? It's
as time goes, people are only going to get lazier and lazier because everything is being programmed that way.
Yeah, it's everything is programmed that way.
I mean, for me personally, I love making some soup and going and getting everything and cutting everything up and putting it together because I know what's in there when I, you know what I'm saying? But people will go and get the box, and then we're going to see people starting to get heavier and heavier. People are going to get lazier and lazier because things are setting up that way.
Hey, Joseph?
Yeah.
I have another guest coming on here in after my break. And Pianti,
okay.
V will be back on at some point this next hour. If you guys want to talk to V, she'll be here in the I'll be able to take calls in the third hour if you guys want to call back. And Bianchi's on the other line. It's just I'm not going to bring him in to talk for 90 seconds and then I go to break.
Yeah, I understand. All right, I'll continue listening. I'll call back and I'll listen over online, okay?
All right, sounds good, Joseph.
All right, good to meet you, too.
All right,
nice
so I wanted to give you guys a couple minutes to plug whatever it is you're plugging and – I'd like to continue to have you back, of course.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, you can find the first book that I've written. It's called Broken Bones, But Not a Broken Soul. It's on Amazon as well as Walmart. And it's basically talking about a lot of accidents I've been in, having my head ran over by a car, being thrown out of a car, having two back surgeries, you know, just different things that had happened to me in my life. And I've written a book on that. So you can find that at Amazon or Walmart. And if you can't remember the name, just remember Jerry Linton Jr. And you look that up and you'll find the book.
Okay.
Yeah, and if anyone is needing any writing services, please feel free to hit me up. I am on social media as Queen Reliable Renee. Feel free to check me out and be like, Renee, I need help. I need help writing my book. So I am always here to be of service, but yes, so. Feel free. I am on all social media platforms, really. even dancing and grooving around on TikTok. So feel free to hit us up because we're doing big things.
Okay. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, and I'm happy
you.
To finally meet your other half here. And we'll do it again in June or July.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Thank you. We will see you next time.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, everybody, we are going to take a timeout. And when we come back, we're going to have Quintina joining us here. We're going to talk about human trafficking. And we expect to have V here at some point as well. So give us a little bit. We'll be right back.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Everything's gotten so expensive. I'm gonna starve.
Official sources say inflation is only up 7% from last year.
But the official index doesn't even count food or gas.
Transitory inflation is good and healthy for the economy.
How is it good to not be able to afford food?
Eating fewer meals per day is better for your health.
How are you gonna sit here and tell me not being able to eat food is good for me?
You're out of touch, man.
You can't ignore this problem. Inflation is real, and someone needs to take responsibility.
You're right, man. It's his fault.
You're under arrest for shoplifting.
But we're in California. No!
How is inflation affecting you? Leave your comment below. Please like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to help us make more, donate at patreon.com/freedomtunes. Thank you.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and income poops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually. But for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luck heirs who will let us get away with it.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative Show here on freedomizerradio.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Hour number two here We have V joining us, and we'll have our guest on in just a second here. V, welcome in. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, hello.
Hey, I sound normal for a change.
You do, for once.
No, I've been waiting for this since last Thursday.
Wow, it's a long time. Do you know what it was? Do you know if it was just a cold or, like, allergies?
I don't think it was a cold. I strongly believe I had allergies because whenever the winds kick up like that, I run the risk of not sounding like myself for a few days.
I see. But I have laryngitis that lasts longer than a week, that's for sure.
So we had our first guest, and I was very happy that they made it. Okay. Sorry you couldn't make it with them. But we have our second guest here. We're going to discuss human trafficking here with our friend Quintina. So
great.
I'm going to go ahead and bring her in right now. Awesome. So Quintina, welcome in.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Of course.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Yes, I'm so excited to talk about this. I know that that probably sounds really weird to be excited to talk about human trafficking, but I think that it's a really important topic that affects everyone, not just trafficking survivors. And so I'm really thankful that you invited me here to chat today.
Huh, well, we thank you for thanking us. So I know that human trafficking obviously is one of the biggest things in America right now. And I think a lot of that is going down at the border as we speak right now.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it's such a multi-level organization. And, you know, when we look at the context of organized crime all over the world, but specifically in America, we would think that guns and drugs would be on top. But I personally believe, and there's, you know, competitive arguments to the latter, but I believe that human trafficking is the number one criminal enterprise, and it happens in places that people either aren't looking, or they don't know what they're looking for, or there are political affairs that are happening that cover up the existence of trafficking. So it's multi-layered and has multiple different levels, and I definitely believe that there is tons of that happening at the border currently, especially when we look at what America, I mean, just even if we think about what America has allowed for a very long time, and a lot of people not recognizing that this affects every single person, not just victims.
Well, I know that one of the things at the border is that these coyotes, that they make money hand over fist by getting people across. And the rule is that they pay half up front, and then they pay the other half when they get across. And if they don't pay, then they get loaded up into a semi-truck, and they're just left on the side of the road inside a semi-truck, gagged and dead.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the ways that it occurs. And, you know, there's different types of trafficking as well. Obviously, there is trafficking over borders, which you can just kind of plainly categorize as human trafficking. There's labor trafficking, which is what I believe is a lot of also what's going on at the border. And then there's sex trafficking. And all of those, even that's kind of like an umbrella. So human trafficking is like the umbrella term. And then there's lots of different divisions underneath that we look at. And I think that all forms of trafficking are happening currently at our border because, one, America loves sex, sex sells, and when somebody is in need, it doesn't even just have to be money that you are trading for services. It's, you know, a place to stay, a literal backpack across the across state lines. You can have indentured servitude. We still have that happening today. And also, a lot of the people that are here illegally are also being labor trafficked by corporations and other organizations that see them as cheap labor because they will work for those lower wages that Americans will not.
So, V, if you have anything in regards to trafficking, that's what our guest is. Did you want to share what nonprofit you work for?
Yeah, so I work for Survivor Ventures, and I do want to say that I use a lot of our Office of Victims of Crime Services language. So I will try to, if I'm getting a little bit too legalistic or whatever, just let me know. But I work for Survivor Ventures, and we are a Hampton Roads in Virginia, and we serve all victims of and survivors of trafficking, all kinds, and it's really amazing what we do. We kind of have a very unique approach to kind of combating the barriers that survivors face. We do housing, so we have a rental assistance program where we assist survivors with rental assistance. We actually get them into their own apartments with their own leases, and then we do a sliding scale of rental assistance, so by the time they are done with their year lease, they are fully able to pay their bills and their rent by themselves, which is really exciting for somebody who may have never had their own apartment or has been, you know, being tossed around, living anywhere and everywhere that they can. And then we also have a Survivors to Entrepreneurs program where we assist them with finding gainful employment, a job in something that they actually want to do. Because the two largest barriers to staying out of the life, once you get out, that's not even the hard part, it's staying out. And the two biggest barriers are finding a place to live that's affordable, and of course we all know how America is right now with the lovely inflation and all of that. And also finding gainful employment. A lot of people that have been trafficked have records, low credit scores, lots and lots of different unique barriers that, you know, other citizens wouldn't necessarily have. And so it causes them to be susceptible to re-exploitation and not be able to hold down said job because they're not used to, you know, getting paid so little for the services that they do and things like that. So we combat those two largest barriers, and then we partner with other organizations all around the country, but also, of course, in Hampton Roads, and for other continuum of care, which just means alternate services that we ourselves don't provide.
You know, I'm curious, what are some of the cities that I guess have the highest incidence and reported incidence of trafficking in America?
Yeah, so I'm not sure about cities specifically, but I can tell you some states. California, definitely super duper high on that list. I believe Texas is the highest. And then New York is up there. Minnesota, which you don't actually think that, like, Minnesota would be high on that list. I know the last time I checked they were number 13, but I'm sure that that's risen. But one of the things that we look for when we think about, like, geographically, where is it easiest to traffic people? And a lot of people don't think about Minnesota because they're like, oh, that's, like, a very, like, inconspicuous, like, whatever state. And actually, with all the lakes the Lake Superior and all of those magical lakes up there, all of the tributaries coming off of there lead not only into Canada, but also you can get to both the East Coast and the West Coast from waterways out of Minnesota, specifically Duluth. And so those are going to be places that are kind of more inconspicuous, but definitely have a higher amount of, excuse me, victims and survivors because of the fact that transportation is easily hidden and accessible.
Well, I would think too, Minnesota makes sense because it shares a border with Canada. So if they could just do a snatch and roll, then they could do that.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think, like, you know, we see these movies like Taken and Pretty Woman and, you know, things like that. And I also want to kind of give some other context that maybe people don't think of when they think of human trafficking. Because a lot of people will say, you know, oh, they just get kidnapped and, like, thrown across the border and things like that. And yes, of course, that absolutely happens. But what you see in America more so, at least in my experience and expertise in the population that I've worked with, is commercial sexual exploitation, which is another term underneath human trafficking that includes escort services, prostitution, pimping and pandering, and things like of that nature. And that actually, we categorize that under human trafficking because those instances are created by force, fraud, or coercion. So the definition of someone being trafficked, even if it's commercial sexual exploitation, would be that there needs to be some sort of instance of commercial sexual force, fraud, or coercion. And so fraud and coercion are more of these, like, insidious, manipulative tactics where you would see what we would call a Romeo pimp who would act like your boyfriend and literally say, oh, you know, you got to only do it for a little while. Like, you know, you're doing it anyway. Like, I won't even be mad if you did that. You're making money because of it. And, you know, that is also another form of trafficking. So, you know, yes, we have, like, the kidnappings and things like that, but even more overlooked and oftentimes, you know, looked down upon, because when we call people prostitutes, we're telling them that they are something. And so I like to share with people that the terminology that is preferred to use is prostituted person or prostituted woman, prostituted man, whatever. And we use that because prostitution isn't something that you are. You are not a prostitute. You are prostituting. You are doing something, and something is being done to you. Nobody grows up and says, I'm gonna, like, you know, when they're growing up, they're not like, I want to be a prostitute. Like, no one says that, right? It's not a job. It is something that happens to you and something that even society can force and fraud and coerce you into doing. We talk about inflation. We talk about, you know, different laws being passed. We talk about how sex sells and how we're manipulating and the nuclear family is being destroyed and all of these different areas of life where vulnerability is the outcome. And that's really what traffickers look for. They look for people who have vulnerability and don't have stable home lives, don't have, you know, good mental health, don't have, you know, a strong support system. And those are all things that right now in society we also struggle with. So we kind of perpetuate the issues and we say we want to fight human trafficking, but we also say screw the nuclear family and, like, let's take everybody's kids away and let's do all this crazy stuff, but we want to fight human trafficking. Like, it just doesn't, we have to pick one. It's either you want to fight it or you want to be involved in it. Like, you need to pick.
Right, right.
So how did you get involved with this nonprofit that you work for?
So that's a fun story. I love that you asked. So I am a survivor myself. On the 30th of this month, it'll be 7 years for me that I left my pimp and never looked back, and that was the best day of my life. But I was living in Ghana, of all places, and one of my very best friends, she was like, hey, we have this job opening, and I'm like, girl, you know me. First of all, I'm over here in Ghana, but I was trying to come back to the U.S., and I was like, she's like, come up, just look at it. Just look at the job. I was like, you know I don't like to work. You know I don't like 9 to 5. Like, you know I'm an entrepreneur at heart. This is not going to work for me. And she's like, can you just look? And I was like, fine. So I did. And it was crazy because when I first got out of the life and I started, I actually worked for another anti-trafficking organization a couple years ago. And my dream was to help people, victims and survivors of trafficking, get housing, because I knew personally that was my number one barrier for leaving and why it took me so long to leave my pimp, which was 3.5 years. And so when I decided that I was finally, you know, going to actually make the decision to come back to the U.S. and leave Ghana and all that, I looked at it and I was like, holy crap, this is the housing program director position. Like, this is exactly what I wanted to do when I first got into the anti-trafficking field. So I thought about it, I talked a lot about it, and finally I was like, you know what, yes, absolutely. So I'm so, so grateful that I was given this opportunity pretty much right when I came back from Ghana, and I moved to Virginia, and here we are. It's been wonderful.
That's amazing.
Okay.
So powerful.
Thank you.
So did you move to Virginia for the job, or it just was coincidental?
Yeah, so we have two chapters. We have one in it's in Norfolk, but we serve Hampden Roads, and Virginia's weird. They like to make things funky. but basically it's 7 different cities that they call Hampden Roads. And so we're right around the naval base, largest naval base in the world. So that's where we hang out. And then we also have a chapter in Delaware that we just started, I think, 6 months ago. So that's really exciting. So right now we have 2 separate chapters. But, yes, I came here to Virginia specifically for Survivor Ventures.
Okay. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's been very interesting. Virginia's a very, I'm trying to find a word for it. I've been struggling every time somebody asks me, like, how do you like Virginia? And I'm like, I don't know how to finish that sentence. It's so interesting because it's so culturally diverse. And I really love that because I am black and white. And so for me, it's like I see, like in Minnesota, I remember the 4, actually, well, there were 5 of them, including me, like the 5 like black kids in my high school. Like, that's it. I remember their names. Like, so it's wild to me now to live in a state, and then of course moving from Ghana, where everybody's black, coming back here to the States and just seeing so much diversity and so much culture, and it's been really, really good. I've liked my experience here. I just don't know how to describe the state yet. It just has this very weird vibe. It's not north, like it's not like the north, and it's not like the south. It's kind of in the middle. So yeah, it's very very eclectic. That's how I would describe it.
That's a good word. Good one.
Yeah.
So V's been thinking about moving to St. George, Utah.
I got to visit it first.
Oh, that's right.
I love Utah. I've never been, but all the pictures I see, all the things I hear about it, all the magical, I love mountains and stuff like that. And how did you think to, like, even look into Utah?
Oh,
I
was just
forcing it on me.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm about an hour and 45 minutes away, and I told her it's a nice place.
And I hate New York, so I'm trying to leave the state when I retire.
Yeah. I know they have those shirts that's like, I love New York, and I'm like, they need, like, somebody needs to come out with, like, a brand that has, like, a big black X over the heart, and, like, that would be, like, the rival company. I'm going to need my royalties for this idea, like, who's ever listening and actually, like, puts that idea out there, I'm going to need my royalties, but if you want to take on that project.
I could show you how to get started selling your own t-shirts online. I started trying to do it. I just haven't been able to get it set up yet. But a big thing now is starting your own t-shirt company online.
Oh, yeah. And it's so easy. Like, you can just create in Canva and pop it on a t-shirt and then, you know, get it printed and there you go.
Well, maybe I can get your help with doing some for Barefoot is Legal then.
I would freaking love that. That would be so fun.
Yeah.
You
well,
know what? Speaking of Barefoot,
huh?
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of Barefoot is Legal, I'm so excited because I did want to talk about how my barefooting experience links with anti-trafficking and all that magical stuff.
Okay.
So when I explain to people why I'm barefoot, they always, like, you know, we understand that people are going to look at us funny when we say for spiritual reasons or for health reasons or whatever. But for me, it really is about spirituality and health. And the thing for me is after my trafficking experience, I developed, you can call it depersonalization or dissociation. It was really, like, highly affecting my life where I literally would have random out-of-body experiences and not even feel like I was in my body. It was like I was looking at my avatar just, like, roaming about the earth, and it was really difficult for me to, like, feel involved in my life. And on top of that, I developed PTSD, CPTSD, and also, like, anxiety, of course, just from hypervigilance and, you know, not being able to trust people and all that good jazz. And when I started barefooting, I actually learned it from my ex-partner in Ghana, and he's been barefoot for, I think, like 7 years or something like that, very long time. And he was like, hey, you should just try it. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm here. Like, I might as well. So I started my barefoot journey in Ghana almost 2 years ago. And when I started, I realized that I've only had two dissociative or depersonalizing episodes since I have gone barefoot. I used to have them almost every single day. And I have had one PTSD, like, flashback episode since, and I used to have those almost weekly. And it has been one of the most amazing things, just because I am constantly present in my life now, and I get to actually enjoy and experience my life from a first-person place instead of, like, that third-person, like, you know, watching my avatar type thing, and it's just been so magical. And that, on top of breath work, has changed my entire life and really made me able to come back into society and live a semi-normal life, which has been absolutely wonderful.
One of these
to blow. Really are. And I'm glad that to hear something like that, you know, that really says a lot about how powerful the earth is and our own bodies and our minds, and how much control we really have over our own selves, not what happens around us, not the people that we know, but our own selves and our own reactions to everything. You're definitely a testimony to that, a living testimony.
Yes. Yeah, it's incredible. Like, our bodies are so adaptable, and I think that that's what we forget when we look at people with trauma. We forget so easily that, you know, these people just really need a chance to connect back to themselves, because trauma really disconnects you from the present experience of your life. And I think the biggest thing is the reconnection back into the present, the actual moment that you're living in, because, you know, anxiety is really just a fear of the future, and depression is regret of the past. And you're going to experience those two. I mean, of course, there's, you know, lots of other things that are tied to that. But if you really think about, like, the baseline of depression and anxiety, it's really just literally not being in the present moment, not being able to appreciate the moment that you have right now, because you're focusing on a moment that's literally not here anymore or hasn't even come yet and probably won't. So being able to give yourself the gift of being in the present moment, I really feel like has such a huge impact on how you heal and how you can actually work through and manage trauma, which is really, really exciting. And there's just so much research on it. Like, we just don't want to look at it.
I mean, aside from that, I wonder if you've had any therapy, like formal therapy.
I did do some talk therapy, but I personally believe that talk therapy is not enough. I became the very self-aware client. It was like, oh, you know, you're so self-aware. Like, you know your problems, you know your shadows, you know your, you know, the thing where you fail, you know where you self-sabotage. And it's like, it's different to understand cognitively what is happening in your body. I understand why I have PTSD episodes. I understand why I dissociate. That doesn't make me not dissociate. That doesn't make me not have PTSD episodes. So it's like, talk therapy is great for, like, surface level stuff and, like, starting to become more self-aware and, like, talking out what you need to become aware of. But unless you add in somatic healing practices, like barefoot, even if you're just barefoot sometimes on the earth, and other somatic practices. I mean, there's so many. There's breath work, which is my personal favorite. There's the emotional freedom technique, which is tapping. So you, there's certain meridians on your body that hold trauma. So if you tap on them and you say certain affirmations, it helps to release the trauma in those areas. There's just yoga. There's so many different ones that you can do that are body-based healing practices. And I really believe that you can't actually release the trauma from your body without both mindset work, which is really what talk therapy is really good for, and somatic body practices.
She knows more than... Wait, how old are you again?
I'm 30.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
I'm probably 80 in my
soul.
Yeah, you've
lived a...
And I've probably lived 45 lifetimes.
Right.
Just have a lot.
Yeah. Holy crow, you know more than people your age, I'll tell you that.
Oh, thank you. It's really just been, you know, a study of my own experience. Like, I used myself. I was my first client, and now I do breathwork for people. I'm a facilitator, and I use these healing practices, and I use what I've learned about neuroscience. I'm a collector of knowledge. I love anything that anytime I can collect knowledge, I'm here for. To read books, look at all the studies, watch the science, do the documentaries, whatever. And then I test it on myself, and I say, does this Like, how does this work or does this work? And I know that, you know, my way is not going to work for everyone, but I certainly know that that's why there's so many different types of body practices and so many different types of talk therapy that you can do. And I believe that everybody can find the combinations that works for them. But I really, truly believe baseline, you need both.
Yeah, I agree. You ever think about becoming a therapist?
You know, I thought about that, but I hate school. I went to high school, you know, graduated, whatever. Then I went to beauty school, and I was a cosmetologist for like 10 years. And I thought that was going to be like what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I did not ever see myself, you know, doing breathwork facilitating and, you know, being a coach and a mentor. But I think it's really because, like, when I think of institutionalized learning, I hate the thought of it. It makes me want to throw up. And so, like, when I think about going to college, I'm like, can I get the license without the college? Like, does it work like
I
that?
I wish. Right, exactly.
I know.
Cringe.
That'd be really
right.
Cool.
So, V, I'm actively trying to talk Quintina into joining us as a co-host. I guess you could
Ooh.
Probably see why.
That would be awesome. Please consider it.
I have been considering it, and actually it's so funny because even on Facebook, there's been a couple people that are just begging for it, so I promise I'm considering it. I have a lot on my plate currently, and so I want to make sure that anything that I commit to, I really can commit to it, because in the past, this is just my self-awareness coming through. In the past, I have been invited to so many amazing, incredible opportunities, said yes to all of them, and, like, burnt out, and, like, it just was not a good situation for everyone. So I really want to take into consideration, like, my capacity, and, yeah, so but I am thinking about it.
Well, I started out as a guest, and then it was like, would you like to come on every week? And then it was like, would you like to co-host? And I guess because of the frequency and I was able to do it, like I do it on my days off. I'm only off Thursday and Friday.
Oh,
right, so it works. And it's in the evening when in the past I'd put my kid to bed or my son would help me and just hang out and talk crap. Literally.
Which we love. I'm a Libra, that's my sun sign, and Libras, we love a good drama conversation. We love a good shit talk.
<They're funny. laughs> My mom's a Libra, and she planned my birthday so that I would be born in Aquarius. Look, she's a big time hippie though, you know.
Born in the
50s. Oh my god, I literally love her for that. She was like, I'm gonna make her an Aquarius.
Right, like C-section and everything, like literally.
Wow. She
yeah.
was not joking. She was for serious. Wow.
She wanted me to be an Aquarius like my dad because she and dad, they were like, they think they had like the perfect relationship, but my dad unfortunately became an addict and that broke them up. So otherwise they never had an argument. We got along
wow.
perfectly. Yeah, Aquarius, Libra. I know. Hey, you know, I don't know anything about it. Honestly, she forced me to learn everything about Aquarius. I didn't know anything about any other horoscope. And then eventually, like, when I made a conversion to, I guess, non-denomination belief like Christianity, there was no room for that. You know, we had, like, so much to learn about the history of the Jews and Egypt and the Bible and the Romans and the Greeks. It was like, forget horoscopes, man. I got my hands full, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like there's, like, when you look at astrology from a, like, not religious, but spiritual standpoint, I mean, goodness, there's just so many times in the Bible where, like, it talks about looking, like, how did they find Jesus? They followed the North Star. Like,
that's right. Absolutely.
You know,
you're right.
Like, there's just so many references to the heavens and the stars and all of that, it's so beautiful when you really think, like, And how people have like certain personality traits based on like where the energy comes from. And it's funny because a lot of people, they just started to do maybe like 20 years ago, they started studies on neutrino science. And neutrinos are like these tiny energy particles, different from like an electron, and but, you know, same category. But they come from the stars and the different planets out there. So, you know, depending on how far away and what star the star is made of, they have, like, different neutrinos. And at the, what is that big, the Hadron Collider, that's what they're using right now mm-hmm. to try to generate dark matter and all that crazy shit that they're trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
But they're using neutrinos. Yeah. So they've been studying.
I think maybe a lot of the stuff that God wanted us to know about the stars has kind of been perverted and mainstreamed into something a lot more secular and worldly. I think God wanted us to see something different. Like just the other night, I was looking at auroras, and I was just amazed at how they go from very subtle to blurry and then like really, really bright, like explosions.
Yeah.
And people still can't, you know, explain stuff like that. And it's just, it's majestic. And some of the things I guess mankind could never explain, they just attribute it to God. You know, it's so easy. Like, you know, God did it. That's it. You know, but there's so many things that God made that just on their own are just incredibly beautiful. And it's
absolutely.
Just powerful. I mean, you are a powerhouse of a woman. And your whole life was orchestrated and planned so that you could be at this place where you are now, and there's so much more ahead of you, and I believe that there's wonderful things ahead, and I mean, of course I'm going to say put yourself out there and get yourself on the air and get people familiar with what you do in a nonprofit and bring more awareness. There's people like myself, I'm not familiar with this. I only know what I read about in the news. I've never experienced it firsthand, and so my testimony is always going to be third party. You know, it's not going to be a third person. It's not going to be my own personal experience. So you bring something powerful to the table when you have that experience, and you could only have done this if you went through it. I'm thankful that you came out on the other side okay. You're not, I mean, you said you were worse, but I think you're just doing so great, and I'm so happy for you. I'm proud of you, and I don't even know you. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you so much. Dude. No, that really does mean so much to me, because, you know, I just, there's so many instances in life where I really, truly believe that the hardest things that I've gone through were really, like, the greatest blessings, because I would not be able to stand up for my fellow survivors because I would not understand their experience. And who better to fight for, you know, people who have lived experience like I do, or, you know, that really don't know how to do it for themselves, than somebody who's been through it. And that's really something I love about Survivor Ventures, is we are, we're survivor-centered. And so all of our staff, minus our CEO, are all survivors. So, you know, we really take it seriously that, you know, we are here to help and to assist and to lower barriers, because survivors really do know what they want out of their life. Like, we know what we want. And sometimes we just don't know how to get it. And also sometimes there literally are just things that we have been through that keep us from obtaining those things. And we just need a workaround. So that's what we do. And I really believe that my experiences have led me to this place. And I have to believe that, because if I sit here and I tell myself, like, you know, all this was for nothing, and, you know, I've been there. I have been in that place where everything was dark and I hated my life and I wish that I could just keel over and, you know, it could all be done. But now I'm so grateful that I got past those dark thoughts And now I get to, you know, actually get to make an impact in the world. So thank you again for saying that. That's so, I'm just so appreciative.
Yeah, don't lose that voice.
And she's
fire.
Our latest supervisor volunteer with Barefoot is Legal too.
No way.
I could spot the talent, and I had to snatch that up.
Absolutely, she is a talent. She doesn't even know. You know, I think people with experience, you know, we can spot you even over the radio. I can tell. You're just brilliant, and you're passionate, and you're well read. And that all ties into just being an overall attractive person. Like you draw people to you, and God does that too. When you go through something, like you just put people in your path that have like the same energy, the same experience. And I think that's just to edify one another. You know, to be
Absolutely.
An encouragement to each other. We have to encourage. We have to build each other up. We don't. You see too much destruction. And that's I think what brought me to Freedomizer too, is that I got tired of seeing people attacking other people for stuff that I was like, a lot of it is spun propaganda, and it's like we've got to have a way to break out of that. We've got to be free from all of this in some way, whether it be through Jesus, whether it be through our own experience and our own wisdom and knowledge, wherever God brings you. That's your walk and your personal journey, and I'll never criticize it. I'll always be thankful that you're better than you were, you know? But we've got to do better as a country, as a planet. Look out for one another. Look out for children. Look out for the elderly.
People who don't have. When people traffic others, they just think that once you're no longer part of the trafficking people that they traffic, they figure you're just going to forget about it, and you're not going to want to talk about it. You're just going to be silent. But every time someone breaks the cycle, and they're no longer enablers.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's so true proof. Like, and that's the thing is, I mean, only 2% of survivors actually get out of and stay out of trafficking because of barriers created and also like kind of perpetuated by the way that our country is set up and by the division that we're seeing. And there's so much, like there's so many layers, so many ways that that human trafficking like infiltrates other sectors of everyone's lives. Like we are all affected by this, and whether or not you like you know somebody, if you don't know somebody who's been trafficked, you know somebody who knows somebody. Like that's just the end of it. And it's really scary to think about, because if we're not like opening our eyes to why does trafficking even happen, which is it's really just vulnerability. If you are not getting what you need, your basic human needs, you are going to go seek them in a way that is honestly quite easy. It's very easy to get into these into any type of trafficking, whether you you know, put yourself in a position to be like to like perpetuate your own vulnerabilities, like strip clubs and things like that, or if you are literally kidnapped and taken and forced physically, you know, everything in between, if we're not looking at how these different things happen, because I promise you, if I had higher self-esteem, if I was not searching to be loved by anyone and everyone, and if I had the tools to heal the trauma from my childhood, there is no way my trafficker would have been able to approach me and proposition me to be trafficked. Like there's just no way. And so one of the questions that a lot of people ask me when they're like, well, what should we be looking out for? What should I be teaching my children? Self-esteem. You should teach them self-esteem. Because at the bottom of all of it, if they don't think highly enough of themselves, they will be manipulated and coerced. You can talk somebody that has low self-esteem into anything.
That's so true. Well,
that's what people prey upon, because the thing is, whether it's trafficking or just when a lot of people make friends, they look at it like, how can I get over on somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to live a life where I have power over someone. Just because I run a radio network doesn't mean that that V has to think anything less of herself. I want everybody to feel comfortable like I'm just a regular person. And I put that out there in Barefoot is Legal, too. I'm not special. I'm the guy that started our group. That's all.
He's humble. He's being humble and modest right now.
Very much so. Absolutely.
But it's
and we all have our own special gifts and talents, and like that's the beauty of it. Like we were presented and given these gifts because only we can do them the way that we do them. So like yes, while we are all equal, we all are special and magnetic and magnificent in our own special ways. Doesn't make us better or worse than somebody. It just makes us unique and gifted with specific qualities. And I think that is just so beautiful. And what a beautiful way to look at another human being, like having the ability to come out of what I've been through and just like see it through compassionate eyes. That has also helped me so much, because even my trafficker, like who I never prosecuted, never like, you know, told anybody who it was. And, you know, I could have. I had so much proof that, that this was happening. But the thing was, there's, you know, in the system, that's a whole nother story. Just the system failing survivors over and over and over again when we do come and try to prosecute our traffickers, is a reason that nobody does. It's because most of the time the trafficker will either get a slap on the wrist, or there's not enough proof, or they think, oh, you're a prostitute, so you did it to yourself. That was a choice you made.
Yeah.
You chose to do that. And it's like, no, I didn't choose. If I have the choice between eating shit and eating garbage, those are two terrible decisions. I have to eat regardless. Like, but you're giving me two choices that are fucking terrible. So how do you expect me to make these choices when these are my options? I don't want to eat either of those, but I'm hungry. You know? So we have to think about, like, are we empowering people to understand that they have more options than shit and garbage? Or what? How do they get to the point where they can have more choices, where they can start to become aware of more choices? And so that's really another just passion of mine, is really talking about the nuances and the empowerment of conscious choice, and really being able to make decisions from a place of empowerment and knowledge, and knowing that you have other options, even if they weren't like necessarily presented to you. But you don't know what you don't know, right? And so when you are somebody that has high levels of vulnerabilities and has only been shown shit or garbage, how are you supposed to know that you have other choices? How, like, you just don't know. So that's the other thing about education and just having compassionate eyes, is understanding that the survivors and people who are involved in commercial sexual exploitation, things like that, they didn't choose this like because they had a platter of options. They chose it because it was literally the only way that they could survive and eat and get their basic needs met. And if we're not, as the richest, supposedly the richest country in the world, we can't even meet our own population's basic needs. No wonder we're the third largest or the third highest on the trafficking. And the only reason that we are third and not first is because China has like a gajillion times more of a population than we do. So, like that's the only reason that China is beating us, because their population is larger. So, like, per capita, they have more people, like, being trafficked, right? But the United States is third. Like, come on. And we're supposed to be the richest, most intelligent, most, like, woke fucking country. Like, really?
Yeah.
Seriously? This is what you call woke. this is the hill you want to die on. Okay.
yeah, amazing how that word changed over the past couple of years. It used to be a compliment.
yeah. Now it's a total diss.
yeah, totally. Oh, my God, you said diss. Do you hear
that?
I did.
Oh, my God.
So, B, I wanted to bring this up just for no reason at all. we talked in the first hour about how Bud Light is trying to walk back their Dylan Mulvaney stuff. And
right.
Now the liberals are saying that they're going to protest.
Interesting.
Because,
what? But yet,
well, how dare you walk back Dylan Mulvaney? You voided your friendship with him. You... Or with they, you, you totally ruined us. So we're gonna boycott you because you no longer only assist the LGBTQ plus whatever crowd.
I heard that there's another company that is about to come forward with their trans thing, and they're doing it in spite of what they saw happen to Bud Light. But it makes me wonder if it still has a lot to do with the way that these companies all have to do it. They're kind of coerced into it, and we can't see what's going on behind closed doors, but the coercion is coming from
ESG, the social credit scores, the businesses, and
right, like there's just kind of like
go through your rite of passage to lose all your customer base for some reason.
Right. And then it's like if you eliminate all of these big companies that are already dominating everything on the planet, what do you have left? Tap water? Rainwater? You got nothing to drink. People going to make stuff out of their tubs like they did back in the days when people were bootlegging. I mean, not like they don't do it, but it would be much more widespread. I mean, I don't know what the end game is here.
But one of my questions, though, and Quintina might be able to help me on this. People are so quick to boycott things like Bud Light and Fox News, but why is it that nobody ever wants to boycott Nike? The best
right.
way to boycott Nike is to not wear shoes and prove that you don't need them to live.
Right, and they're selling off all of their old Yeezys, right? They're going to donate the proceeds.
To what?
I mean, yeah, some organization that they're on the board of, that they're a part of, or they founded.
Oh, of course.
Most likely.
No,
that's what Bill Gates does.
No,
he supposedly donates so much, but he's on the board and a part of or founded all the organizations that he donates to. So he gets his money right back.
Isn't that so interesting?
What'd you say, Proof?
He's the largest funder of the World Health Organization.
Yes.
Oh, no.
More than the U.S.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Nike also uses child labor, and they're just a terrible company, and I just don't understand how – I mean, I guess I do. I do understand because nobody – it's kind of like Shein. You guys know the brand Shein?
Is it Shein
or yes.
Shine?
That clothing brand that she
I know one of it. I never ordered anything.
God.
Yeah.
I
What's
hate
their
them.
Deal?
I hate them so much. Literally, they're just fast fashion. They are literally fast fashion. They say that they make some of their items in the U.S., but every time somebody gets something, the tag says made in China or made in Taiwan. And, like, it's crazy because, like, the clothes are, like, they don't pay their workers correctly. They definitely undercharge them for how many, like, this is a brand that is promoted by, like, thousands of influencers on the internet. Like, probably maybe hundreds of thousands. Because they are that fast fashion, everybody can afford it, And it's like, well, no wonder everybody can afford it. It's a $5 t-shirt and somebody made 12 cents. Like, that is not how this should work. And it's terrible. It's so terrible. It's like, why are we so enamored with cheap clothing that you can only wear one time and then you have a hole in it? Like, why would I pay $5 for that? It just blows my mind. And I think that unless we start to kind of get a handle on our consumerism problem, which is really another reason why I love being barefoot, I save so much money. I used to love shoes. I used to spend so much money on shoes. It was friggin' stupid. And, like, I'm sitting here and I'm kicking myself, pun intended, and being like, there were so many times where I wanted a pair of shoes so badly that I would literally go broke, go negative in my bank account for a pair of shoes. Why was I this way? So I really had to step back and really assess my life and be like, is it really that important to, to have this quote-unquote fashionable item that makes my feet hurt? I have little fat hobbit feet, so, like, my feet don't fit in traditional shoes anyway. They're very wide, and I got little tiny toes and, you know, whatever. So, like, my feet don't fit in traditional shoes anyway. And so I'm, like, sitting here, why am I trying to force my foot into this contraption that I'm going to go broke for? You know, I just really think we have to think about our addiction to consumerism. And really think about, like, what are we standing for? Because money is, when you really put your money where your mouth is when you purchase these types of items.
Oh, I've heard someone call it foot prison.
Call it what?
Call shoes foot prison.
I've used that term before.
Did you coin
just
that
like
term?
Just like we don't wear scams.
That's funny.
Foot prison.
I mean, basically, that's what they felt like.
So, Quintina, we have to get you to do a Facebook Live with the group.
Yes. Yes. I have ideas. I have ideas, Prue.
Well, I want to pull this thing out. I want us to be mainstream.
Nice.
I really feel like we can do it.
I think so, too. It's just that we need a presence in all the major cities, or at least many major cities.
Oh, definitely.
It's just a matter of getting people off the couch to not be afraid to go meet other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to Kelly the other day, and I had this idea that I think people's biggest issue is that they don't know how to advocate for themselves. Like, they're terrified to be yelled at. And I'm like, the amount of times that I have been yelled at, like, I just brush people off. I'm like, get the fuck out of my face. But I wasn't always like that. Like, in the beginning, when I first, in Africa, they don't care. But over here, you know, I definitely was, like, nervous and, you know, was very hypervigilant about, like, you know, are the employees watching me? Is anybody going to say anything? And, you know, I did have some instances where I had somebody else stand up for me. And that was really powerful to see, like, somebody else standing up for me. So I really want to teach people how to stand up for themselves. And, you know, when you have the ability to kind of, like, role play what scenarios you might encounter in these different types of businesses and facilities, it's really nice because then it's literally like an ease. Like, you feel so much better because you're, like, prepared, you know what to say, you've, like, rehearsed it a little bit, and then it's not as intimidating. So I was thinking that I could do, like, a Zoom meeting, like, once a month, and everybody in Barefoot is Legal is invited. And we would literally, I would talk about how to advocate for yourself, what to say, how to, you know, how to deflect, or, you know, how to bring the conversation back, because some people will get crazy. And I was telling her that I used to be a vegan activist. And I'm not vegan anymore, but I used to. Have you guys heard of Guy Fawkes, the guy that created that anonymous mask?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we did this demonstration called Anonymous for the Voiceless. And I was the outreacher. So I was the one that was talking to people that would walk up to our demonstration. But what we would do is the people that were, they would stand in a square, and all of them would be wearing the mask to demonstrate voiceless and anonymous, anonymous for the voiceless. And in their hands, they'd have like TVs, tablets, computers, whatever, all playing factory farming footage. And so when people would walk by, they would see this horrifying footage, probably traumatizing people, it's fine. But they would see this horrifying footage, and then they would, me and other outreachers would, you know, ask them, like, how does this footage make you feel? Like, did you know that this happened? Blah, blah, blah. And we would just have a conversation, and we would role play all the, like, there was like 30 different, like, quote unquote excuses that people would make for not being vegan or justifying what was happening on the screen, right? And so we would go over all the different objections to veganism, and then that's how I was confident, you know, because I knew what people were going to come at me with, and I had a response for it, right? So I feel like when people are prepared for the different types of confrontations that they might run into, they're less afraid because they know how to stand up for themselves. So absolutely. I was thinking that that would be a really cool idea to have like a monthly Zoom where we could really talk about how to advocate for yourself and do like role playing. You can like do like breakout sessions and stuff in Zoom. It's really, really neat.
Okay.
So you can like partner people up and yeah.
I didn't know all that. I don't use Zoom though.
Yeah, I don't. Zoom is not my favorite, but that is a really cool feature.
Right, wasn't Zoom criticized for, like, people hacking into it while the kids were doing school live with their teachers? Like, there was some type of hack.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, but the school's internet, like, honestly, everybody's trying to hack into that. I don't even know why schools are allowed to operate with their internet without a VPN. Like, I mean...
Yeah.
Kind of good that they don't, but also, like, it's like, you know, it's kind of like the back and forth, like, we want people to not be able to hack it, but then we also want to be able to see what we need to see if we need to see something, you know what I mean? So
right.
It's kind of a hard, rock in a hard place, but, yeah. I'm like, how are you not protecting, you know, the one place that's so vulnerable? Come on now.
Well, they could use more protection for kids all around, like an armed guard in every school. I don't know why all the Democrats unanimously voted that down. I'll never understand it.
I don't get it.
So,
we
Quintina,
have more security and jewelry stores.
You picked up on the lifestyle while living in Ghana?
I did. Yes.
So you didn't know that we existed while you lived in the United States?
No, I mean, I knew, like, obviously I've seen people out and about barefoot, but, like, I didn't think that it was a real lifestyle and I had no idea about, like, the benefits of it. I knew about grounding and stuff like that, but I didn't know that people really just, like, completely disconnected from shoes altogether. So when my ex, he is just such an incredible person. He is an herbalist, and also there's a Ghanaian word that I'm forgetting right now, but basically he's a priest in some respect of the type of divination and stuff that they do over there. And he, like I said, he's been barefoot for like I think 7 years. and started when he was super young. And it's just, it was so interesting to me because I'm sitting there, I'm like, why? But why? And then he would tell me all the reasons. He would tell me the spiritual reasons. He would tell me the benefits of it. And then I started looking into it, and then I started practicing it with him, you know, in support. And that's when I started to notice all the changes in my mental health and in my body, and just inflammation reducing. There were just so many incredible changes that I experienced in that time. So then I was like, why would I ever put shoes on again? Like the foot prison, because again, like I said, my feet are so wide, and they shoes are just, they really are torture for me. Because if, and even when you get like wide shoes, they don't even look good because they look like little duck slippers, and they're not even cute at that point. So I was like, what is the point of wearing these? So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to bring it back. And there was another girl. Her name is Divinity. And she was over in Ghana around the same time. She's from Virginia here. And she also went barefoot around the same time. So we connected. And so she was actually one of the people who advocated for me at an event that we went to. She's a fashion designer and does a lot of, like, really cool spiritual stuff as well. And she stood up for me for when I was I wasn't allowed into the museum when we were doing an African fashion show. Like, literally, like, we were talking about not discriminating and, you know, being open to different cultures. And, like, then they literally tried to tell me I couldn't go in. So I was like, hey, like, they're not letting me in. She's like, they didn't even notice that she wasn't barefoot. But then she explained to them, like, you're kind of being hypocritical here when, you know, this is supposed to be an African cultural fashion show. And the way our ancestors were, like, you're out here trying to, like, kick this black girl out for what? Like, can we make it make sense? And so ultimately they did let me in, and it was wonderful. But yeah, you know, that was just a very interesting experience, because that was like one of the last places I thought they would even notice or care. Because most people don't even notice. Like, that's the thing. It's like, most people don't even look at your feet. And if you're noticing that hard, you're weird.
That's true. I did that. I was in Soho working in Manhattan, and I was like, I'm going to give it a try. It was raining, and there are these cobblestone streets in that part of Manhattan, which is very rare. Everything is paved now. So I was less worried about gravel and broken up concrete under my feet, but I was more concerned about slipping on one of these smooth stones. It's like about 100 years old, so I was like, I gave it a shot. I went out there in the rain, and I took a picture of my feet in this group chat that I was in with proof. I was like, look at me, I'm out here barefoot. Nobody noticed. But, I mean, it is New York, and nobody gives a shit either, but, I mean, nobody noticed my feet. How often do you look down at people's feet, though? I went into a store. I bought food. I was walking around leaving wet footprints on their black floor, and they didn't see or notice anything. They were looking up. They were looking at their phones. Everybody's just so immersed in what they're doing.
Well, and that's the whole thing, is that it's your own business. And you'll notice I never tell anybody that they have to live like me. It's just, this is an option. That's all. That's how we operate.
Right.
I don't tell people how to live. You do you.
Absolutely. If you want to wear shoes, great. If you don't, I'm the girl to talk to, because I will advocate for you. I will help you to feel more confident in it, because, you know, I think that was like one of the other things, because I am opening myself back up to the dating scene, and I'm sitting there and I'm telling myself, I'm like, the type of men that I have been interested in the past would look at me like I was a fucking nut job if they knew that I went barefoot. And then I was like, you know what? The type of guy that I used to want to date would, like, we're not even compatible anymore anyway. So, like, who cares?
Yeah.
So then I was thinking, like, I see all of these beautiful relationships. I have all these wonderful examples of couples who their partner is not barefoot and they are, or vice versa, or they're both barefoot. And I'm just like, you know what? There's proof out there that the person that I am meant to be with is out there. They exist. There is so much magical proof in the universe. And, you know, I know that if I desire it, God will deliver it. And so I'm just like, okay, like I really now, I walk into stores with my head held high. I don't even, you know, I don't try to hide that I'm barefoot. I literally walk around, stomp my little bare feet everywhere. Like, you know, I'm proud to do this because of not only how much it has helped me, but just also like the kind of like stick it to the man kind of energy that I give.
Yeah.
And that barefooting also kind of gives. It's like, this has so many like oppressive and racist roots, like that no shoes, no shirt, no service thing. And it's like, why are we participating in this still? Like, I thought we were supposed to be woke. Like, if we're so woke, and we're still saying no shoes, no shirt, no service. I'm like, do you even know where that started? Like, if you knew, I promise you 99% of the people that I've educated and said, do you even know, like, where this whole thing started and why? And then I tell them, and they're like, oh, my God, I had no idea. And I'm like, of course you didn't. Why would they tell you that? Why would they tell you, you know, about your history correctly? Of course not. So I don't blame people for not.
I was going to tell V real quick while Quintina's here, because she's going to drop in a few minutes. Check out that 20-second video from Rumble, V, and while we're talking, because that's part of what we do too. So lately, I've been getting involved in dress code type stuff too, because I just think it's so funny at offices how some things are okay and some aren't.
Right.
So. Oh, yeah. That is just, it's so weird to me, the different shoes that are like, okay. And it's like, what is, why would that, how is this protecting anyone's anything? Like, how? Are you seeing it, Dee?
I'm seeing it now.
It's so cringe. I'm like, what? First of all, who made those shoes? Because those are ugly. Second of all, like, why would...
Wow.
No. Whoever designed those maybe did think they'd lose their job.
Woo. Yikes.
I know. Like, why would you make those? And if you guys, whoever's listening, if you want to see the video, they're all on Barefoot is Legal TikTok and on the website.
Or Rumble.
TikTok and Rumble. Okay. Barefoot is Legal on TikTok. I haven't followed you. I will do that. We'll do that proof.
I love TikTok.
So we have to play our broccoli man before it gets too late. Quintina, you're welcome to stay, but we're going to transition to what we normally do during the nights here for at least a little bit.
Wonderful. I am going to go to bed. But this has been so amazing. Thank you both so much for sharing this space with me and amplifying my voice. I'm just so grateful. And if not being a co-host, I would definitely love to do this again. This was fun.
So, okay.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, we'll talk.
I agree.
We're going to become friends here, Quintina.
Yes, we are.
All right.
Awesome. I look forward to it.
Sounds good. Talk
to
you soon,
Quintina. Nice to meet you. So nice. All
right.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
All right.
See,
so
you sent me the Broccoli Man social credit score with the wiretap.
Yes.
All right. I got it. Got it up.
And then Bianchi's been waiting to talk to you.
Oh, awesome. Man. Bianchi. I'm trying to clear a drain in my tub. It seems to be very backed up. So I'm not sure why. Well, let me know when you want to pull it up or talk to Pianchi.
Well, I'm trying to get it up here. I don't know why I can't. Oh.
Okay.
Because I didn't upload it to the switchboard. All right, hang on. Give me a moment here. I forgot I uploaded it, but didn't do anything after that.
Okay.
It's rare by Thursday I haven't played it because I forgot that I took 3 days off.
How could you forget?
I don't know. Well, I couldn't talk, so I guess I didn't think about it.
Mm.
Any crypto news to share while we're waiting like 2 minutes?
I gave up hope on the whole Pepe thing, but I definitely learned more about it. I feel like a total horse's butt for not signing up with it.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at that time, like, it was 2 years ago, I was trading nothing but tiny coins that had no history, and everybody was terrified to invest in. And I was like, me, sign me up. Like, look at this. Anyway, I'm trying not to be discouraged. Of course.
All right, so the video's ready.
Yeah. All right, awesome.
So social credit score featuring the wiretap. All right, okay. 3, 2, 1, action.
Hold it right there, green dude. You are hereby detained by me, sir.
Why is whenever I go someplace, I keep running into you?
That's because I followed you, sir. You down did travel without having a social credit score.
I travel through a private jet. Superheroes do not need social credit scores to travel.
I disagree, sir. You have a zero credit score as you have not provided a cell phone number yet. You are actually in the negative green, dude. You support Donald Trump and Robert F. Kennedy. Plus you have never even once shown anyone your junk in public. Now, let's get you into that TSA naked body scanner, sir.
We all know that is a big fat no.
We all know. That is a big fat yes. Now let's get you to remove said clothing and place those articles of clothing right next to my person.
Anyway, nice seeing you. Now I have places to go and other people to talk to instead of you.
Are you that much of a fool, sir? I have not released you from my custody, green dude.
You can tell G-Lobalist I said he can shove his cashless society up his...
That was the wrong choice of words, says green dude. Now I am forced to take it to the local elementary school. We need to select some top quality children to read and perform sketches from the Chelsea Clinton supported book Gender Queer. It is the new benchmark for quality education to childrens.
That's it. Now I will arrest you for child endangerment.
That is it. Now I will arrest you for not willing to diddle childrens. Why are you so much of a buzzkill and a biznitch? You have to get with the times, green dude. By the way, so we are also coming to remove your home appliances. We are now going to start banning dishwashers, washers, dryers, and air conditioners. It's about time we force you nincompoops and fuss budgets to live like it is the year 1599. That is why you shall require a microchip on your person and a Lysnicker Freedom microchip. We need to control you 99% dolts and something that cares. We have had enough of your so-called freedoms. Now you shall see how us globalists can enjoy our freedom while showing roughly 8 billion of Earth inhabitants extreme pain and micromanaging. By the way, green dude, you are losing about 75 social credit points for not having a bloody scam on that face. You now have enough negative points for me to place you in that FEMA camp. that definitely does not exist.
Look, all I know is you are being arrested for being involved in child trafficking.
Ha ha, green dude. Like anyone bloody cares what you say. If you arrest me, then G-Globalist will simply pull some strings and then we just finna go and arrest you again. By the way, you have not removed one stitch of clothing. Why do you not respect trans people and authority, green dude? Is it because I am a black trans?
What you do with adults, I do not care. I get involved when you involve yourself with children. Leave the kids alone.
That is too bad, sir. That is how you make sure you will never see the light of day ever again. It is a trans world right now, green dude. Without being a trans, you will never ever in your life had an above average social credit score.
You are not a trans. You are not whacking your testicles off. You are not transitioning to a girl. You are just a creepy dude that literally have sex with anything and everything.
How dare you offend me, sir? It is not my fault I have not sex with you yet. You will not let me even see your kumquat or your monkey. I can't help about the shape I'm in. I can't sing. I ain't pretty and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to. Oh well.
Okay, let's get you arrested.
But green dude, why art thou not finna show me said kumquats? We need to make sure you are showing them directly to the children so you can have some semblance of a social credit score. I promise I will only make a couple of TikTok videos of your junk and we'll dance the funky chicken next to it. I know how to make it go viral.
That is something that is definitely not happening, dog.
That is something that is definitely happening, dog. You will finna stop listening to Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, and Proof Negative. Every time you turn on their channels, you shall lose 100 points.
We need to stop letting the globalists run our lives.
You need to let us globalists run your lives. By the way, green dude, you can collect a one-time 55 social credit score points if you allow us to put a camera inside your shower. This way we can watch you lather up those delicious kumquats. We can also make sure we're using GMO soap and not an organic soap. All organic products are considered taboo and will bring you a worse credit score.
Anyway, when these globalists kill off the banks and force you into the cashless society, it will hurt in the beginning. If we all just say no and keep using cash, there is nothing they can do. If we submit to a microchip and a cashless society, then humanity will be completely dead. That is their goal.
You need to zip it right this instant, green dude.
Anyway, check out the Proof Negative radio show. Get yourself educated. Go to freedomizerradio.com and check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Proof will keep you up to date on all the latest in globalist news. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and there is a schedule on the website for all the other shows on freedomizerradio.com.
You keep stepping in it. Stop promoting freedomizerradio.com. You need to let people become zombies so we can depopulate the earth, sir. Bill Gates is the undisputed king of deep pop. No one can touch us globalists, so you best just give up your miserable lives and let us do what we bees finna do anyways.
Alright, I hope it was okay.
Did he say finna?
Yes, he said finna.
Oh my god, that's funny. Alright, mister. We're gonna talk to Pianki.
All right, you ready for Pianki?
Yeah.
Did you like the song choice of the week?
Yes.
I caught those lyrics.
I was like, wait a minute, he's quoting a song lyric. And I was like, what's the name of the song? Damn it.
Do you know the song?
No, I can't remember the title.
It's called Oh Well by Fleetwood Mac.
Thank you. I love Fleetwood Mac. Yes. Good one. Way to sneak it in.
That was the closest he came to singing ever, actually. I didn't even think it would come out that good.
Really?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Welcome in, Bianchi.
What are you guys doing today?
I'm doing much better. Much better.
Oh. Oh, except for
now. I was listening to that other caller. Anyone in the country that's working and they're illegal, their assets should be seized. Mm. And that's supposed to be working. And they engage in illegal activity.
I agree.
And immigrants that come to the country are supposed to add to the United States, not make life better for themselves. Look at the tens of millions of dollars that we give to these countries where they're coming from to alleviate the problems that they are experiencing. And not only that, the people that's coming out of El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, they could go to Belize or they could go down to Panama.
Right.
That's what it's supposed to do. When you have a persecution in your country, you're supposed to seek refuge in the adjacent country. Now walk 4,500 miles to the United States border. That's where that's all jacked up.
I agree, but they didn't walk. They won't talk about how a lot of people did. I've seen a lot of Chinese folks there, too. Shoot. However, right?
Yeah,
they got help.
People from the Congo. And she said she was over in Ghana. If she was in Ghana, and she wasn't working in Ghana. Because they don't allow that.
No,
I know that country very well. My wife is from Ghana. Mm. I've got property.
When she lived in Ghana, so I'm vouching for that.
Well,
yeah,
she wasn't working. She wasn't working. And I'm going to tell you something else. Foreigners just working in those countries is taking a heck of a chance because those countries don't play on issues like that. Sometimes you can come up missing.
Yeah, that.
But, you know, as far as those traffickers is concerned, that's why more people need to wear their weapon, because apparently these trafficking kids, if they're going against their will, they should holler out at somebody and say, hey, I need help.
Right.
You would think that. And if more people was wearing, well, a trafficker ain't going to stick around and want to be confronted with somebody who's wearing their weapon. I wouldn't. So I don't know what to say. And some of these kids that's running away, they should be returned back to their home, or any cost it is to take care of them, that should be conveyed on to their parents and their family. It's always
right.
The poor taxpayers that have to pick up the tab.
That's true. Who feels it more than the middle class, the working class?
But no, you know, they raided someplace in Georgia, a chicken processing place, and all the illegals left. Next day you had Americans that was wrapped around the block to take those jobs. But those people's assets should have been seized. They was in the country illegally. They don't have Social Security numbers. And that's the way you break that stuff up. And also, you should find the employer for hiring them. If not, we're just going to be running around like a dog chasing his tail, talking and complaining about it. Nothing's going to happen. all the people that we have in U.S. prison that talk about being rehabilitated, well, hell, that job should be part of their rehabilitation. Hire Americans.
Yeah, I like how they talk about, for some reason I keep hearing like Chuck Schumer say the number 11 million. They keep talking about how there's only 11 million illegals from, I think what they say, DACA, the Dreamers or something like that. I don't know where they got stuck on this 11 million. It could absolutely be three times that.
Well, they got more than a million. I can see that now. And also, you can tell them when you're at the store because they pay in cash.
Right.
Pull up rolls of money, pay for their groceries in cash. Apparently, a lot of them don't have bank accounts because they're illegal. At least that's one thing that the bank's doing. But if they get that I-10 number, individual tax identification number, which is designed for people who don't qualify for a Social Security number, then they not only can get jobs, but they can also get home mortgages and credit cards.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And also, guess what else they do, doll? They vote, because when you sign your paperwork for your home mortgage, well, that establishes a resident in a voting district. So you just take those papers and show them to the register, and you register to vote, even though you're illegal.
Right. And that's why you commented to that guy on my Facebook who said that we had an insurrection and all this nonsense. And you're like, insurrection? Why wouldn't people be rightfully and justifiably upset when the media gaslights us with words like widespread, meaning that it happened, but not on the level that would have changed the outcome, but that it happened is okay. It wasn't enough fraud. It was less than we needed to make it so that Biden didn't win. Like, we keep skipping over that fact that they like to say it wasn't a widespread voter fraud. And when we hear all the networks say it and all the journalist headlines write it, nobody's suspicious. Nobody thinks for a second that none of them have an original thought and that they're doing this repetitious thing that psychologically has an impact on making the brain believe that it came up with it first. So ridiculous. I get mad.
Well, it's some idiots out there that I usually get into some discussions with, and they actually contradict themselves on the previous argument with the present one that they're in. And that's just the way it is. Look at the woman that was debating Donald Trump.
Yes.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah. It was a CNN girl. And he told her she was a nasty
person.
I was dying.
She's an idiot. Asked him one question four times.
Right.
And that's the nature of the mentality of people in society today. They come up with some of them as wild ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was trying Trump to say that Putin's a war criminal. And Trump wasn't falling for it.
Right. And he pulled out receipts. She said, why did it take you 3 hours to tell people to stop being violent? He was like, no, it was immediately. And he quoted the time, and he said that Twitter deleted it so nobody could see it, and they could use that as part of the narrative.
Well, another problem is with these courts. These judges have gotten completely out of control. How in the heck do you see a grand jury? How did a grand jury find a true bill, that is, a case? You know what it is, Tom. Based on the information and the evidence at hand.
Right.
Hear this woman talking about something that happened 30 years ago? Good gracious, man. What is the mentality of people that's on a jury that would agree with that? Right. It's all over the place.
The
this
thing
type
is,
of foolishness.
That lady didn't even know what year it was.
Hmm.
So how can you not know? And I understand you might not remember the exact day or anything, but a year or roughly when it happened, it could have been 1993 or 1998. I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me.
Hmm. Well, if he's going to be accused of assault, look at all these other cases. And you know, Dolly, you a white female. If you ain't carried, I'm going to tell you something. You taking some hella size chances, because when you look at the stats, these black males are raping and beating the hell out of these white females, and nothing is happening to them. I mean, it ain't me
right.
saying this. It's FBI that's stating it.
Right.
Oh, and I saw that starting soon, you'll no longer be able to use crime statistics when you're trying to assess your crime in your particular cities.
Oh,
so
boy.
You'll just have to go by what they tell you.
They're really going far with this. I mean, you give them an inch to take a mile.
They just don't want to... they don't want you to have any idea about how there could be a lot of black-on-black crime in this area, so if they just don't tell you about it, then you won't know.
Right.
Like in a lot of cities, if there's a black gentleman that wore a red shirt and was 6'5", you're forbidden to say any of those things because that might be offensive.
Oh, my God.
Well, somebody told me they was out in California around the Los Angeles area. And they was wondering, why all these helicopters? What's going on? Is it training? Somebody said, no, they in car chases.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, we can't do that in New York. Not allowed.
Yeah.
Speaking of California, I want to know how they're defaulting on $18 billion in debt, but they agreed to $500 billion. For reparations to start with.
Yeah, good point.
Well, I hear Newsom reneged on that. He stepped back a little bit.
I didn't hear that. But they like to get people
they're
high.
That.
The audacity of people asking for actually any reason. Unless you're in a car accident and you kill up somebody's family, well, then, you subjected to TARP suits then. But the reason that those individuals was asking, it's the same old crowd all the time, by the way. They went from slavery, couldn't get no place with that, tried to sue railroads and insurance companies, couldn't get no place with that. Now they're saying, well, we was treated mean.
Hmm.
Well, who ain't been treated mean at some point in time?
Right.
And, folks act like the United States is a golden goose. They really do.
And it's not.
Yeah, they think that money just grows on trees down up there in Washington, D.C.
Yes, they
well,
do.
The politicians act like it does.
Yeah.
Because
maybe
Brandon said he's still not going to cut anything on his budget. And it's racist if you think that you're supposed to cut.
Everything's racist.
Well, McCarthy and Nancy hold strong. If you don't cut, and how are you going to balance? I mean, think about it. If you... And, we shouldn't even have to have these conversations. I mean, it just makes good common sense. Hell, if you get your credit card statement and it says that you overdrawn or overspent, what are you going to do, go out and charge some more? They're not going to allow that. And, here's another thing, too, with credit card companies. If you don't pay them, they will withdraw it from your savings account or checking account. They'll take it out.
Hmm. I don't like that.
So you got that looming over your head. If you got a house, if you got a credit card, that means you got some decent credit. So Joe Biden's going to impose a tax on you at $40 a month because your credit is good, and the other person who he wants to give the $40 to don't have good credit. Oh, that just sounds great. So all these things cannot sustain themselves. Something's going to break. And it's going to break, and it's going to make a hell of a side noise. Things going to come in, tumbling down that make Humpty Dumpty look like a nursery rhyme. Oh, it was a nursery rhyme. But it just can't work.
And then everybody's going to say, well, how come nobody told me?
Yeah. Well, anyway, you got 4 minutes. Let me get off there.
Four minutes?
No, it's 47 after. Your clock is 10 minutes ahead.
10:47.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at the other clock. But anyway, I'm going to get off from here. No need me complaining anymore. But I'm telling you, you got them guns, wear them. You never know. You might be able to save a trafficked bunch of kids in a van. And they see you with a gun, they think you're a police officer. They say, ma'am, could you help us?
Sure.
So anyway, you guys be careful. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
So what's the latest with Mayor Adams and all these illegals coming in?
Oh, he says that we're not getting help from the president. You know, he was slow to talk about this homeless man that was killed in the train, so he got a lot of negative light for that.
Because I like the fact that he's saying that Brandon's doing him dirty, but I just wish I saw more.
Right. Because I don't know if you saw, it was on the news that New Hampshire got like 1,500 plus migrants, and their officials were complaining that they had nowhere to house them. And there were just literally people sitting in the streets. And that's New Hampshire. 1,500? Imagine New York got hundreds of thousands. And they're turning hotels into shelters and police station houses and the former police academy.
Well, it's going to take all these cities to say something to Brandon and not just blame Republicans. Because everybody's dealing with it. It's just now other areas have to deal with it that didn't have to deal with it before.
Right.
Delaware didn't have to worry about 310 people coming off a bus to go camp out in front of Brandon's house.
Right, and Corinne Jean-Pierre was saying that they've been trying to bring some kind of bill before the Republicans, and the Republicans are not cooperating, and I'm like, all this time?
So what's the bill? Is it that we need to bring in as many illegals as possible and you're going to say nothing? Because I want to know exactly what the purpose was of Brandon meeting with McCarthy a couple days ago. And within 90 seconds, the media's out of the room. And within a few minutes, McCarthy's out of the room. And he said, I'm not cutting one item. It's like, well, why are you negotiating then? Part of negotiating isn't saying I'm going to do exactly the same thing.
Right.
It's not up to everybody else to cave. And what, just because you think you're the president?
Right.
Nobody cares anymore.
Right.
But I think it would be a help, actually, if they shut the government down.
I agree. You shut down the IRS and the FBI, too, forever, and the DHS and the ATF.
Yeah.
Go on and on. Go on and on.
And then you can let the Texas police force handle the border.
Yeah.
Don't
and the military's helping. The military's helping that Biden leaked to the best places for them to cross. It's insane.
Yeah, they're going to help facilitate up to 1 million illegals possibly this weekend.
Jeez. How is the military betraying its own company? How are they? This is where the whole, like, I'm just doing my job and following orders thing starts to really get to me.
Yeah.
I've never said those words in my whole career. I've never done anything that was unconstitutional or violated someone's right or my own moral code.
I wouldn't know either.
Yeah. I'm amazed. And I know people in the military who are active right now. You know, good people. And they get caught up in the middle of this. Disgusting. Did Bianchi think that I was Doll, by the way? I wasn't sure if he called me Doll earlier.
Oh, I didn't know either.
Yeah, it sounded like you said Doll. I was like, okay.
I didn't know if you meant that as like a compliment or if he just got confused.
Yeah.
I'm guessing funny. She still has her own show. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, once somebody leaves Freedomizer, I really don't pay attention, to be honest.
Well, I understand. I mean, you don't have time to be... Unless they call you onto their show, you don't have time.
Maybe if you got promoted to, like, you're on Blaze TV with Glenn Beck or something, but that hasn't happened.
Also, if I was on Blaze, you'd watch.
Yeah, probably. As long
you'd
as
have
you're
no choice.
Not on
I post it on
me.
My own Facebook. And I tag you. I'd be like, look, proof. Come on, Blaze.
Hey, if they're paying you and I'm not, I get it. That's a promotion.
I hear that.
I'm not mad at somebody getting ahead.
All right, yeah, there's no haterade, right?
Yeah, I don't eat hater roast for breakfast.
Hater flakes. Well, it's a good show. I think that was a good guest. Of course, I love hearing from Bianchi.
Yeah, Joseph Gibson wanted to talk to you before, but he, I guess he had enough for the night.
I hear
that. Was cool. It's nice to have two guests again in a show. I was worried I might not have a voice, and I just figured, let me book a couple guests.
Oh, you did it in faith.
Yeah.
That's cool.
This is the best I've felt since last Wednesday, so that's good.
That's good. I'm glad.
So what else are you working on? We got just a few minutes here.
Well, I was going to say that, I was kicking myself for not investing in Pepe, and then Pepe, decreased to, 66% or something like that. It was crazy. Some crazy obscene amount of money. I was like, oh, well, I'm not tired of that.
So what's the high of Pepe hit, just out of curiosity? Where did it go from and to?
Let me see. Okay, so by May 5th, it was 0.00044 cents, and then it fell to 0.000018. So it's 5 zeros, 44 to 18. That's a big
deal. Okay, so somewhere around Shiba Inu money.
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay. All right, just want to know what I missed.
I want to say, what is that, a billionth I don't even know how you say these numbers. I don't remember how to say, one billionth of a cent or, 18 billionths of a cent. It's,
yeah.
Well, it's dropped either way. People lost quite a bit of money. So I don't miss that part of trading these poop coins.
Yeah, do you ever watch BoJack cartoons?
What, did I ever watch what?
WoJack, W-O-J-A-K, WoJack. It's pretty popular on YouTube.
No, never.
Oh, because they always have him investing in the wrong coin. It's pretty funny.
I'll definitely check him out. But I was actually thinking about going to visit El Salvador after I retire. Just to see what it's like over there. I know the president cleaned up the streets. He got rid of a lot of the criminals that were committing the majority of the crime. From what I hear, they don't have chemtrails over there. And that makes the soil and the air and the water very good and very perfect for farming. I thought I'd take a peek around there.
I understand. It looks intriguing. It's just too new for me to take seriously just yet until I see more of a track record. But I know the walls are closing in on us here.
Right. Right.
Because once you make that move, that's pretty much it. That's where you're at.
Right. You get kind of stuck or... Oh, you're happily planted. I don't know which that will be.
All right, well,
look, now we really have a minute. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just got the 90-second buzzer, so I got to work my way out of here.
All right, mister.
All right, well, thank you, V, for being here, and we'll talk again next Thursday. So,
thank you.
Everyone else, I will be back on Monday. Please support the other shows over the weekend. But until Monday, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive. And remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am proof negative, and I am loose.